Welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast here at Revenue Rocket, broadcasting live and direct from our headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. Today, this week, the last week in December of 2020, we have Ryan Barnett, my partner here at Revenue Rocket, joining us for the podcast. Ryan?
Hey, Mike, we're joining here from actually from the home office here, which has a cacophony of dogs, kids, cats, and family during the holiday. But, really looking to talk to you today about what we're seeing in the marketplace and why someone should actually consider selling their company and what goes into that thought process and why someone should consider selling at all. So I'd love to ask you a few questions and hear your thoughts on that. So,
Sounds great.
So I'd love to just start out, kind of the most basic. What's the first thing someone should actually think about when selling their company? I mean, what's the highest level? Where should you start?
Well, it's a great question. I think, for the most part, there's a variety of things. One is, are you ready to sell? I think is an important point. And are you ready on a variety of levels? One, are you ready to maximize your investment in the business? Are you ready and understand what you're going to do next once the company is sold? Are two critical questions that have to be answered. You've heard from our other podcast that the main business driver for transaction value is realized, or what we'll call adjusted EBITDA, and the performance of the business. Is the business growing? Is it performing at or into the top quartile of EBITDA for your peers? Do you have a clear handle on those, on the business, and are the books clean and all that stuff? Those are important prerequisites when looking to sell. But we also know that a critically important prerequisite to sell is understanding what you're going to do next once the deal is sold. Are you selling in or selling out? And if you're selling in, that means you're going to be staying with the company that acquires you and playing some other role, and what that role might be, what you're most passionate about, for example. If you're selling out, what are you going to do? Right? Are you going to retire, or are you going to, open a sport card franchise, open a series of Taekwondo shops, or open a deli? And we've certainly helped companies sell, and business owners have actually done all three of those things as real examples. They were passionate about doing that post-transaction. But I think to sort of summarize the question, you need to be thinking about, are you in a position to sell? Is the business prepared to sell, just from a mechanics of the financials perspective? And do you have your head clear about what's next for you after the sale?
And I think that's a good part. And oftentimes when people consider a sale, the first thing they're thinking is perhaps to de-risk a bit. And that tranche of liquidity that they get from their biggest investment in their life is big and helpful towards kind of giving them peace of mind towards their financial freedom. But at the same time, it's like in a way it's you're selling your baby. It's something that you've created and crafted and loved and nurtured, and to watch that creation be handed off is something that's very emotionally difficult to go through. To your point, Mike, I think one of the most underthought things is, what does the owner want to do? And it's okay to take some time off, to take a look at your hobbies, and to take a we had one client, for example, who just wanted to rebuild Hammond organs. It's something that he hadn't been able to do because the time of running the business wasn't there. So that luxury of actually having a hobby and going after things can be thought about. At the same time, what advice can you give an entrepreneur to actually let go of the business? What would you tell someone who's selling their business and to consider that business in the future with someone else running it?
Well, I think, you have to prepare a business for sale to some extent, right? You have to kind of work your way out of a job. I think it's very, very difficult to transition, whether you're selling in or selling out your business, without having put a competent team in place that can manage and run the business for the most part without you. That becomes a critical component to your ability to have flexibility to either do a new role in the company that's acquiring you, actually transition to either a role of more responsibility or different responsibility, or to sell out to pursue a hobby or a future business interest. You know, the structure of the business and who's actually managing and running the day-to-day needs to probably already be transitioned so that you have options and flexibility with whether you're selling in or selling out. And, you know, I think, Ryan, you brought up a good point with de-risking. You know, a big reason that people look to sell is to just, you know, the businesses are are oftentimes the largest individual asset of a business owner. And, you know, quote unquote, taking money off the table or de-risking can be a motivator. But I think all of these other related components need to be taken into consideration so that the business is prepared to be handed off smoothly and that your employees and customers are taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Transitioning a little bit, Mike, if you look at how oftentimes deals are structured, that can help kind of give a bit of a future on why you should sell or what you should do when selling. What should an owner think about earnouts? And what's your opinion on utilizing an earnout in the sales process?
Well, what's fascinating about earnouts is there's a widely held misperception that earnouts don't get paid out. And that's just simply doesn't hold true. The statistics say that 86% of earnouts get paid out at or above their index value. And that's provided they're structured properly. So poorly structured earnouts that are either indexed poorly or don't have the right motivation and goals or not in alignment with what we'll call mutual interest of the buyer and seller, oftentimes, you know, or can be in a position to not get paid out. But these statistics bear out that most of them are structured properly and do get paid out at or above their value. And I think when you're thinking about considering an earnout, you really have to be in a position to affect that earnout. So if you're selling in and you're going to be in a role where you can impact the earnout and you want to have a gain share with the buyer, maybe because you have a future value of contracts that are already sold, or you're in a situation where you're going to secure a bunch of new business that's not yet been sold, those things are important considerations when considering an earnout and whether it makes sense. But, you know, I just want to emphasize again, earnout, you shouldn't be afraid of earnouts. Earnouts certainly way more often than not benefit the seller in their ability to optimize and enhance the deal than they benefit the buyer. I think sometimes if you're in that seller seat and you think that, you know, it's too much risk, that, you know, 14% chance that it won't get paid out at or above the value is too much risk, and you need to look at a different sort of setup. But you certainly have a much higher probability achieving that money or get an enhanced purchase price through overperforming that goal than not.
Sure. If I follow that kind of earnout question a little bit farther, do you have any opinions about how equity could be used, perhaps in rolling it up? Or we've seen some consolidation efforts that are using equity as a tool to kind of give a second bite at the apple.
Yeah, there's, you know, certainly private equity does this a lot where they'll do a platform or add part of the consideration as equity. Their goal is to ultimately build a quote unquote roll up or buy multiple companies, enhance value, and then ultimately sell that business in the future. You can decide based on your own risk profile whether it makes sense for you to, you know, continue to roll equity, as it's often called inside the industry. And if you roll equity, just know that you're going to be an owner in a new structure, right? Albeit a much smaller equity holder owner. But you'll be a owner in a much bigger company, I should say, more correctly, have a smaller equity stake. Certainly that's a way to share risk, but it's also a way for you to enhance value. So oftentimes you see these companies trying to build the scale where there's a higher EBITDA multiple typically paid, where there's an opportunity for people to participate in that equity, either as a passive investor because you've exited the business, or as an active investor because you're playing a key operating role. And again, it just has to do with your own individual tolerance for risk and desire to, you know, look at that risk and return paradigm.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And it kind of, I guess it brings up another question of when you're considering equity or considering a go-forward plan with the company in the terms of an earnout, what role does a CEO take? I mean, do you expect that they should take a VP of sales type role? Should they look at some kind of advisory role? Is there, I mean, granted, there's nothing that's typical, but or something that can be standard. But what advice can you give to someone when you're considering kind of your future? Your equity is going to be considered, perhaps can be converted to some kind of salary, and that salary may not be what you are making, but you've got kind of that payday coming. But what kind of roles do you see people going to when they are sticking with the company?
Well, I think the key driver there is to make sure you're following your passion, right? So oftentimes when entrepreneurs start businesses, they were either trained or passionate about a key role, whether that be, you know, in sales or in delivery or, you know, maybe in, you know, more of a technical role. And we certainly see and have active engagements right now with clients that we're helping sell that where the principals are going to be staying on for some period of time to facilitate a smooth transition. But they're also playing a key role. In one case, they're going to play a role as a technical advisor, a virtual CIO role. In another, they're going to play a role as a lead salesperson. Think of a VP of sales type role. And in both of those cases, in both of those examples, we have situations where that's where these particular individuals shine. This is where their skills are. And this is where, most importantly, their passions lie. And part of the driver for them selling their businesses is to sort of get out of the other things that they have to manage as the lead executive, sort of being able to offload that onto a bigger team so that they can follow their passion. And I certainly would encourage everyone who's considering on quote unquote selling in or being part of an acquiring entity to make sure that they're focused on a role where they can excel and one that they're passionate about.
Right. I totally agree. And I think once you can find happiness in your future role, that's going to be different. That's going to make you just happier in life in general. Transition a bit here. What do you think a seller should be asking a buyer these days? What should they be evaluating in that potential buyer? Is it okay just to get a bit of money? Or do they really need to always be looking for that 1+1=3 type scenario?
Well, I think it is important to have the 1+1=3 or 4 scenario. I think, you know, we've said many times on these podcasts and other sources, if you follow Revenue Rocket, that, you know, you really need to be able to have all three components, right? Strategy, culture, and financial fit. And without those things, your deal's not going to work. So you need to vet all of those things in order to really make a deal make sense.
Absolutely. That makes sense. If you could give an owner one piece of advice when selling their firm, what would that be?
I just say be, you know, make sure you're ready, mentally ready. As you mentioned early on, it was important, you know, it's important to be in a position where you just don't, you know, you're not, how do I say, you're ready to hand that business off to the next owner. That you're ready to go on and move on and know what that path is going to be, and that you're confident in that decision. I think that is critically important to your own personal happiness. I think beyond that, you know, I'm going to actually cheat and give you 2 points of recommendation. I think is to make sure that the business is structured properly to sell. I think a lot of people will not either have their books in order or not have optimized work their way out of a job, if you will, and believe they should get some significant purchase price. And so, you know, those two things are critically important to your ability to, one, find a buyer that will pay a fair value for the business, But two, be able to be in a position to be happy about the deal and ultimately get across the finish line.
Sure. If I was to add one piece of advice, I'd also, or maybe two, is you really need to operate your firm like you're not selling it. So it's kind of critically important to keep running the business like you'd keep run it. You know, hire the people you may hire, keep the cash in line with what you might be doing, make the investments you need to make, make sure that you continue to run the firm like it's not being sold. I think that is just tactically the right thing to do. And in B, you know, this is a journey that you'll just consider that it'll probably be a journey you're doing yourself. So when you go to market and you're trying to sell, you're not going to want to let a lot of members of your team know about it. You might have a bit of a lonely road to get to the execution of the final sale. It's a bit lonely to get there, but once you get to the top, it's worth it. You can have a successful exit and really focus on what's next in your life, whether that's your next business adventure, your next personal adventure, or just taking a bit of time off to reflect on the success that you've had.
Yeah, and I'll put a plug in for, you know, using an advisor. I think it's important to, you know, get competent advisors, as we've said, you know, around accounting and tax, around legal, and around deal making or M&A advisory. We think that, you know, those are three critical roles and advisors that you need to have in order to be successful in getting your company sold effectively.
I hear you. That's what all I've got for you today, Mike. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. With that, we'll tie a ribbon on it. And hopefully you'll tune in to next week's podcast, the first of what we hope to be a very bright year for everyone in business and their personal lives. Thanks and take care.